The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you, as you said, you know, people think you are a redhead. I am a redhead.
No, I was just saying, you know, if George Ezra, who sounds like this, you know, it sounds like a black man who looks like Barry White, is actually a puny, skinny white guy with a British accent, then I could be a redhead and I could also possibly be a man. You know, it depends on your imagination. Rolene, let's just get straight into some news. Very important news coming out of Gaza, actually. Gaza has taken first delivery of Qatari-funded fuel. That's good news.
Well, it's good news for Gazans, not such good news for Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who vehemently opposes this. He is extremely opposed to the foreign relief plan. And the fuel that has been let into Gaza today is about a $60 million fuel donation. It comes from Qatar. It is endorsed by the United Nations, and it is to try and ease conditions in the Gaza Strip and to try and also make sure that we don't see an escalation in violence between Israel and our neighbors in Gaza. And, you know, we spoke yesterday, Kath, about the possibility that we might actually see some kind of conflagration, that the Israeli military are preparing for a conflagration. And this is because, not because of anything to do with Israel and Hamas, but because the Palestinian Authority actually would like to withhold their monthly payments to the Hamas-run Gaza Strip, because they want control of the Gaza Strip. And the worry amongst the Israeli security establishment is that a worsened humanitarian situation in Gaza would result in a lot more violence between Hamas or other factional groups and the state of Israel. Now, under the blockade which is in place by both Israel and Egypt, which is has every intention of isolating Hamas, there has been a worsening poverty line or humanitarian crisis. But this Qatari-backed fuel truck really, really eases these kind of restriction, and it means that at least the power plant that generates electricity to Gaza can operate for at least 6 months. And Gazans have only really received around 4 hours of electricity daily. And, you know, I think it's quite saddening to us to try and wrap our heads around the fact, you know, why would Mahmoud Abbas oppose
That's what I was going to ask you, because as I'm understanding what you're saying, is that Mahmoud Abbas, who's representing, who does he represent? Hamas. I mean, the Palestinian Authority, right?
Why represents Fatah,
right? So why isn't he happy when his people are going to see benefit from this? I don't understand the power play. I don't understand why he wouldn't be happy when this fuel donation has arrived.
Well, a spokesman for Mahmoud Abbas, Rami Hamdallah, who's based in the West Bank, he said that any international financial aid to the Gaza Strip should be through or with the coordination of the Palestinian government in order to preserve Palestinian unity. Now, this is quite funny, seeing that the two factions cannot seem to reach any kind of long-term agreement. And we heard from Hamas just weeks ago saying that the protests on Israel's borders aren't necessarily designed to infiltrate Israel. They're more to draw attention away from the fact that there is this internecine fighting between the two sides. The United Nations cannot be reached for comment, and a Qatari official has said that at the request of donor states in the United Nations, they are providing this kind of humanitarian relief. And you know what? Arab countries have faced a lot of criticism from many of us around the world who have said, why aren't you doing more to actually help the people of the Gaza Strip? And Israel's energy minister, Yuval Shtanitz, was very, very critical of Mahmoud Abbas today, and he accused Abbas of seeking to make gains on two counts by encouraging a conflict in which Israel will, in his words, Kathy, it's clobber Hamas, and over which he will then be able to clobber Israel on the world stage.
Gosh. All right, we'll see how that turns out. I'm just happy that for now there's been some sort of respite for the people of Gaza who just really do have very, very sad lives. Rolene, a U.S. student, it says here U.S. students. I'm going to assume it's this one girl who has been detained at Ben Gurion.
It is the one girl. It's my very, very over-eager typing fingers this morning.
All right. I wasn't sure which story because sometimes,
A U.S. student has been refused entry, and this is allegedly because she supports the pro-Palestinian boycott of goods from Israel, and she has actually chosen to stay and fight the ban in court. And what is very, very unusual is that Hebrew University, the university where she has intended to spend the year studying, has not only offered to back her in her court appeal, but also the court, and this has come in a little under an hour ago, the Hebrew University of Jerusalem have actually allowed the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, who have requested this, it's a very, very rare request, they've allowed Hebrew U to join her appeal. And this is coming on the back of the law that was passed recently in Israel that bans BDS activists from entering the country. And, you know, we've got opinions from all sides. Some saying, you know, let her in. Others saying, you know, it's quite ironic that she supports BDS and the ban on Israeli goods, but yet she wants to study at an Israeli university. And some saying, you know, are we going to ban every single BDS activist? Or,
and what about Israeli
is there some
citizens?
Kind of economy of scale?
But what about Israeli citizens who support BDS? I've walked through Tel Aviv and seen, you know, Palestinian flags hanging off balconies.
Well, this is a very, very good question, and you know it would be interesting to get the Minister of Strategic Affairs Gilad Erdan on the air and say, you know, what happens? I mean, this, it's fine, you've got this legislation, but what about homegrown activists? You know, what do we do with them? Do
it's
we
a democracy.
Keep them out, or do we? It is, is democracy, or do we just sequester them at the airport? You know, what are we going to do about this? And how far are we willing to ban BDS activists? You know, there's one thing, if they pose a real threat to international security. It's another thing if they're just, you know, critical and a little bit active on campus. You know, where do we draw the line here? It's a big debate that's happening at the moment.
Very interesting. All right. And did former U.S. ambassador just give away a secret regarding Nikki Haley? What are you talking about?
Well,
which former ambassador?
He did.
Who?
Well, the former ambassador of the United States to Israel, Dan Shapiro, said this morning on Galat Tzahal, which is Army Radio, he says that the outgoing U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, we all know who she is, intends to run for president. And his words are as follows. He says, Nikki Haley does intend to run for president. If not in 2020, then in 2024. She has earned enough of a reputation to outshine Trump and his scandal. Now, Nikki Haley yesterday denied any plans to seek the presidency. In fact, she said she will support Trump in his bid for 2020. And the White House have not provided any further explanation as to why Nikki Haley has departed. Yesterday in the press conference, she said that she's leaving because she feels it's enough and it's time for new energy, and she believes that there should be a rotatorship. But has the former ambassador of the United States to Israel just dropped a big stiletto-clad bomb?
Well, everybody else is being very much shtum on it. Nobody's talking about who her successor is at this point. You know, I see Hillel Neuer from UN Watch. He actually suggested Alan Dershowitz to replace Nikki Haley. It's interesting choice. Alan Dershowitz is a liberal Democrat. He's not a Republican. Very interesting.
Well, no sooner did we hear that, we heard Ivanka Trump vehemently deny that she will not be serving
we're in the denial phase.
As the ambassador to the United Nations, even though her father, the president, said, quote unquote, she will be dynamite.
What are the five stages of mourning? Do you know?
denial, anger.
We're definitely
acceptance.
In the denial phase at the moment.
I think very, very much so, but it's certainly going to keep us well entertained. And I wonder how busy, Ambassador Shapiro's phone was today from people saying, what did you just say?
You know what? I think that she would be a fantastic US president. I think she's got a lot of integrity. She's done, I mean, she's a political animal in every way. You know, she's been a senator, been there, done that. And maybe 2024. She'll still be young. She'll be 54 years old, Rolene.
Well, I think she certainly has incredible credibility. I think that she would be an amazing first female president of the United States. She certainly gets my endorsement. And she manages to navigate her way through the political minefields, no pun intended, because she has literally navigated minefields. She does it with an incredible amount of class, dignity, integrity, and an incredible strength. She takes no nonsense, and she does it in a fabulous pair of shoes.
Yes, she does.